For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Ananias and Paul, as we pick up in Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Ananias went his way. When God first said, go talk to Saul, he was sure that God had made a terrible mistake. Lord, I've heard about this fellow. You can't be serious. So Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, I like that. He immediately acknowledges him as a brother. Receives him immediately into that fellowship of the brotherhood in Christ. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus. Now you remember, he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. And so here Ananias is saying, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto you in the way, as you were coming, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, Ananias is not an apostle. He's only a disciple there in the church in Damascus, of which we hear nothing more about him after this time. Just an ordinary disciple, and yet God is using him as the instrument to lay his hands upon Paul that he might be healed, receive his sight, and that he might receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight immediately, and he arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus. And immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, Paul had enough background in the scriptures that as soon as he realized that Jesus was Lord, he was able to take his understanding of the scriptures and realize that God had promised to send his son. He realized, according to the prophecy of Isaiah, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And all of these scriptures began to click in Paul's mind. And he was able to see now that Jesus was the Son of God. And so he began to go in the synagogues and began to preach unto the Jews that Jesus was the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed, and they said, is not this the one that destroyed those which called on this name in Jerusalem? And did he not come here for that same intent, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? And they were amazed at Paul's preaching. Now, between verse 21 and verse 22, there is a gap of time. It isn't indicated in our text. But at this point, According to the Galatian epistle, Paul left Damascus, not conferring with flesh, but to really just wait upon God and to really get his full instructions. He went down to the wilderness area of the Sinai, and there for 2 to 3 years, he was just waiting upon the Lord, being instructed by the Lord concerning the way of truth in Jesus Christ. So Paul, writing to the Galatians, said that after his conversion, immediately I did not confer with any man, but I went to Arabia, and there was taught directly by Jesus the gospel, the doctrine that he proclaimed. And then later he said, I returned to Damascus and then to Jerusalem, where I stayed with Peter for 15 days, but not to be instructed by him, but just to share the things that had happened. So the 3 years in Arabia down near the Sinai are not spoken of in the Acts, but just passed over. And if you want to put them in the text, it's between verse 21 and 22 is Paul's journey to the desert for 3 years. Now, in verse 22, Saul by this time increased all the more in strength. That 3 years was a time of strengthening in his life as he was just waiting upon the Lord. I get a little concerned about those who come up and say, Chuck, I want to go into the ministry. And I say, well, that's fine. How long have you been a Christian? Oh, 2 months now. You know, and they're looking for a pulpit and somewhere to begin their pastoring. Paul had a very rich background in the scriptures. Yet he did not enter immediately in the ministry, but took time to prepare himself as he was there in Arabia for 3 years being taught of the Lord. God uses instruments that he has prepared, but preparation is a necessary part to any effective ministry. I believe there is a great mistake that takes place in the church by laying hands on people too suddenly. I think that a tragedy has existed for years within the church. Whenever some Hollywood celebrity makes a profession of faith, immediately they are bombarded by every church and every conference to come and to be a conference speaker. And they're going around constantly giving their testimony week after week after week, here and there, giving their testimony to excited crowds around the United States. Well, unfortunately, they're spending so much time traveling around the country to give their testimony to the crowds. The only thing they ever hear is their own testimony. And thus, they are never rooted and grounded in the Word. They never get a foundation. And so many of these great celebrities who have gone around with their sparkling testimonies, after a period of time, you say, well, what happened to? Oh, well, he's back into the old life, you know. Well, it didn't last or it didn't take or something. It's because the church has made a tragic mistake of assuming that because a person is a brilliant person in one field, that he can immediately be a great theologian or a teacher of the Word. And that is a wrong assumption to make. There have been some very brilliant scientists who have accepted the Lord. And of course, immediately everyone wants them to come and testify of their conversion experience. Well, you might be a genius in biology, but that doesn't mean that you know anything about the Word of God. And so Paul needed to get a foundation established, and thus he went to Arabia, and that is just a wise move for anybody. Don't be in a hurry. Make sure that you've dug deep and laid a foundation. Jesus talked about the two men building their houses. The wise man dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. The foolish man just began to build immediately on the sand. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. They want to get things going. Let's get the building up. Let's start the framing, you know. And they haven't taken time to lay a solid foundation. And when the storm comes, the house is destroyed. So take time, lay a foundation. If God is calling you, God is not in a hurry. We are the ones that are in a hurry. And God wants to prepare those instruments that he will use for his work. And so while he was there in the wilderness, he increased the more in strength. As he came back to Damascus, after this 3 years, he was now a real dynamo for God, and he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Messiah. Again, he had his rich background in their scriptures, and he could take their scriptures and by them prove that Jesus is the Messiah. And that's not a difficult task. It's very simple to take the Old Testament scriptures and to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. But there are none so blind as those who will not see. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. You see, though he proved that Jesus was the Messiah, it only angered them. And so they began to lay in wait for him, but it was told to Saul that they were ready to ambush him, going to kill him. And they were watching the gates of the city of Damascus day and night, ready to kill him. And so the disciples took him by night, and they let him down by the wall in a basket. And so he didn't have a very triumphant exodus out of Damascus. A rather ignominious way to leave over the wall in a basket, escaping from those Jews that were plotting his death. And so it was at this point he came to Jerusalem and first met the apostles. So when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. And they believed not that he was a disciple. And this is a tragic thing, how that he was rejected by the church when he first returned to Jerusalem. But Barnabas, now, you remember this man Barnabas, who it said he had a different name, but they called him Barnabas, which means son of consolation. And here you see why he got his name. Barnabas is a fellow to bring men together. And Barnabas took him and he brought him to the apostles, and he declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they went about to kill him. Paul's ministry seemed to have that effect upon people. Everywhere he preached, it ended in either a revival or a riot. People were moved by what he said, one way or the other, some adversely and some in a favorable way, but Paul had a way of stirring people. Now, when the brethren knew that they were planning to kill Paul in Jerusalem, what a way to start your ministry. The first two places, you have to leave town on the quiet because there are those who are plotting against your life. So when the brethren knew the plot, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus, or go back home, Paul. And so they sent him back to Tarsus. And then had the churches rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria. I don't know that that rest was too healthy. Then had the churches rest. They got rid of Paul. Well, it meant that their witness wasn't as bold as it was. They began to live more peaceably with those. And I don't know if that is a sign of a healthy church or not. Now, Paul stayed at Tarsus for up to 10 years. Just how long, we are not certain. But most scholars believe that his going back to Tarsus, he remained in obscurity for 10 years more. No doubt they were times in which God was continually pouring into Paul the knowledge of the grace and the goodness of God. But they were silent years as far as Paul's ministry is concerned. The churches had rest throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified as they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. Now we leave Paul at this point, and the record goes back now to Peter. It came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all of the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. So at this point, Peter decided to go around and to visit the various pockets of believers that had sprung out throughout Judea and over towards the coast, the area of Lydda, which is the present city of Lod, where the Ben-Gurion airport is the area where Peter went to visit the Christians there. And he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had been in his bed, had been confined to the bed for 8 years, and he was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise, make your bed. And he arose immediately, and all of those that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Peter spoke to him the word of faith, and there is power in the spoken word of faith. It's important that we find the balance. There are those who take this teaching and they carry it to extremes, as they would elevate man to the position of sovereignty. You can have anything you want. All you have to do is to speak it. And they speak of the rhema, the spoken word, and the creative power of the spoken word. And so you speak by faith whatever you want. I want to be a millionaire, you know. I want to drive a Mercedes. I want to have a home on Lido Island. I want, and they tell you to speak the words of faith. Visualize what you desire. Visualize yourself driving that little Porsche. See yourself scooting in and out of traffic. Visualize it. And then, you know, you're putting these creative forces to work. and you can have whatever you want. Did not God say, command ye me the works of my hands? And they talk about speaking the word of faith and the visualizing of the things that you want. This is metaphysics. You'll find the same things in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, or the 13 richest men in Babylon. It's a part of metaphysics. And it is something that is, there is creative power in the subconscious. And so by visualizing and by putting up your goals and by declaring your goals over and over, you're planting these things in the area of the subconscious, and the subconscious begins then to develop schemes and devise methods whereby these things might become a reality, and you're using the vast power of the subconscious. Of course, the spiritual writers say you're using the vast power of the spirit, the fourth dimension, and you're putting that power to work. But it works without the spirit. It works for men of the world who want to follow these principles. And you'll find many, many men who will testify that their tremendous success in business and all is attributable to Napoleon Hill's concepts in metaphysics in Think and Grow Rich. Same principles exactly.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 9. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you and keep you in His love and grace, watching over you, guiding you, protecting you through this week. May you be enriched in Christ Jesus in all things. And may your understanding of God's love be increased day by day as you begin to fathom the depths, experience the heights of God's love and grace and mercies towards you through Jesus. Our Lord.
The Word for Today resource, Final Act, is a book about the exciting days we're living in. Like observers invited backstage before a play, we can see the director positioning the players and making sure the props are in order. We can feel the excitement in these minutes before he signals for the curtain to rise. This analogy is apt, for God is positioning nations and current events before our very eyes. The world is ready for the curtain to be lifted for the final act. The Final Act explains the rapture, the rise of the Antichrist, and conditions that favor the Lord's soon return. You can order this book at TWFT.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of
program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.